the rivers of water that brings forth fruit. And we study the Word of God, and I was talking to Pearl and my Kylie about the Word of God, how it you realize how it gets inside of you as I grew up. My I never realized, the Bible says faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I never realized, even when I didn't even live for God, how much the Word of God went into you. Because when we were kids, my mom and dad, I know it doesn't sound like nothing today, but I'm 49, so it would have been probably 45 years ago, spent $500 on a cassette series. And that was a lot of money back then for a couple of tapes. It wasn't a couple, it was 50 of them. And it was the Bible, but it was animated, or animal? No, animated. Anyways, and the Word of God went into me, and it went into you. And the Bible takes time with us to change you. Because, you know, as I've gotten older, my desire as a pastor, I know I'm not the best preacher. I know I don't know everything. I haven't got everything worked out. But my heart and my desire is to for people to have the Word of God affect them and have it change their lives. Because I get calls every week, and I have people talk to me every week, and there's a lot of broken people. There's a lot of dreams that are broken in people's lives. There's families that are broken. And every one of us needs to allow the Word to help fix it. And I think faith only can begin where the Word of God is known. And I think that a lot of times people, it's up to us to hear the Word. And when you hear it, the Bible talks about here. Just turn with me for a minute to Hebrews. I've got a lot of stuff going on inside of me, but just turn to Hebrews and I'll find it. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 1, it talks about this. And I wanted to get at something today because I talked about last week, or the last time I preached. I wasn't here last week, was I? No. 2 weeks ago, I was talking about learning to believe God. And remember, I was telling stories about how I learned how to believe God and what faith really is. And it's like kids. I've learned a lot more about what faith is and how to believe God from my children believing God, because kids believe God. Because they just take what you say and they believe it. Just simple. And we try to complicate things. And we try to be like, we're not going to believe it unless we see it. And, or we're not going to, you know, you got to prove that to me because that doesn't make sense. Well, there's a lot of things in my life that hasn't made sense that's happened. And if it wasn't for God, it would only be God. And I'm going to share a few of those stories today. It's funny because I haven't talked about that in a long time. And I went down to Harry's a couple weeks ago. And I just started to share my heart a little bit, and how I learned, how I thought I was so smart, and I realized how stupid I really was, and actually how I learned how to believe God and to receive from God from my children. And because God, first thing, faith only begins where the will of God is known, and you got to know that God is for you. The Bible says that the enemy is out to kill, is out to steal, and out to destroy. If you think that God is out to get you, you're going to have a really hard time believing God. I'm just talking, because the Bible says the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's what communion really is here. Not, when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he die and shed his blood for the remission of our sins, to cover our sins, but he took the stripes on his back. The Bible says, you know, there's a lot of people today more mentally tormented than ever. Depression, oppression. There's so many different areas, and people don't realize that Jesus took completely everything on him Do you remember years ago, I don't even remember, but it was one of my kids. Remember we made them paper chains? Remember, does anybody ever make them paper chains when you were in school? You know, you put one this way, then one this way. And on that chain, and we tied my John Jr. up when he was just a boy, and he's 25 now. So, and we tied him all the way up, and then he broke it, right? Jesus broke all that for you and I. And in order for us to receive from God, you got to just take him at his word. And so Jesus said here in Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, of any of us should seem to come short of it. For under us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So, and I just say that because how many people know the word of God is alive? The Bible says heaven and earth will pass, but my word will not change. Right? And the things that I've noticed in my life is that the word of God is alive whether you believe it or not. You know, our radio station right now is going out in the airwaves, whether you're hearing it or not. And you got to tune into that radio station in order to hear it. Well, and it's the same thing with the word of God. The Bible said the word of God didn't profit them here anything because they didn't mix faith with it, right? They didn't believe it. And in order to receive from God, everything that how do you come to God? You must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, if you believe in your heart, the Bible says, and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, then you shall be saved. So how do you hear? You got to hear that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, that there's a better way in life, and then you believe that, and then you act on that, and you receive that. And that's some of the things that I have learned in my life. And I learned this in my life. And that's why I'm taking time this morning to talk about it. And one of the first things is that when I grew up, I didn't think that God actually cared about me. Because I knew I was made a lot of mistakes. I knew I did a lot of things wrong. And so I never really came to God, because I knew he wouldn't like me anyway, so I just sort of carried on. And then when I came to the end of my road, where I just, life was really sad for me. This is the bottom line. When my brother was killed, Julia left me. I just came to a place in my life where my life was completely empty. And in that state is when I called out to God. I didn't call out to God because I love God. I didn't even know him. I called out to God and I said, "God, if you're real, if you'll take the pain away, I'll live for you." And he did that, and it changed my life. And from that day, I started to listen to the Bible. At that time, I couldn't read right. And I started to listen to the Bible, and it started to change me. And the Bible says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the other things will be added. So I began to pursue God. And I didn't know anything about God. I just began to pursue God like I pursued my wife. Because I didn't know really how to pursue God. How do you talk to somebody? So I would just in my own house start talking to God. And I would just tell him I loved him. And something changed inside of me. So my life just started to get better and better and better and better. I never ever dreamt of ever being what I am today, just so you know. Like I never dreamt of being a pastor or a preacher, or I couldn't even talk in front of people. I only went to school to grade 4, but I couldn't even get it in front of class. I was so embarrassed. But then all of a sudden, I started to hear the word of God, and we started to begin to believe God, and my wife came back to me, and the Bible, you see, this is the thing. If you can pursue God, and you just pursue God, see, people say to me, "Are you still searching?" Because people will see me out because I work doing landscaping around different places and I'm around the lakes or whatever. And people say to me, because they don't see me in a suit, are you still serving God? Well, I said, absolutely. Oh, okay. I just wondering. I have people ask me that all the time. You see, serving God is not an option. I was without God once in my life. And I came to a point where I wanted to kill myself. And since I've had God, everything in my life hasn't been perfect. But I want to tell you something. My life has gotten better and better and better and better. And I got purpose. I'm able to make a difference in people's life. I'm able to help people when they're broken. I help people that I work for. I pray for their kids. I've hired their kids. There's a lot of broken people in life. It doesn't matter if people have money or they don't have money. And I want to tell you something. Faith always begins where the will of God is known. And God wants good for you. For every single person in here, in the world, doesn't matter what color, doesn't matter what race, He's the same yesterday, He is today, as He will be forever. He didn't change. So if He'll do it for one, He'll do it for another. The difference between some people receiving and some people not receiving isn't really to do with God, because God, a lot of people think that God chooses, you know, this one's nice and this one's not and this one's made a mistake. That, you know, that stuff doesn't even come into play, because if God did for you according to you, none of us would have anything. The Bible says, actually, when you were yet in your sin, Christ died for you. So when you were absolutely against, away from God, He still sent His Son because He loved you. And the Bible says this. He says, if you being evil, and the only thing I can think of is me and my dad. If we being evil know how to give good things to our children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask Him? And see, and I'm not saying, see, I don't serve God so I can get stuff. I didn't even know that God wanted to give you a good life. But what I wanted was to pursue God and have peace in my life. And as I began to pursue God, I realized that everything else comes with that. And then I realized, and I started to begin to believe God. And how I began to believe God was because of my, first of all, my Kylie. Which is, how old are you, Kylie? 26 years old. How old were you? 3 years old. Is when my life started to change. Because I went through life and I didn't know that you could believe God. I didn't know that when Jesus said, when He said on the cross, "It is finished." I didn't know that it was all paid for at the time. I didn't realize that when you pray or you have a need or you have a desire and you go to God, that God just doesn't come and do that. He paid for it once and for all that call. Like, He doesn't come and die on the cross every time somebody needs to get saved. He did it at the cross. He did it once. And the reason He had to come is because the blood of the goats and of animals couldn't take away sin. It just covered it year to year, and nobody could ever enter in because nobody was good enough. Amen. And so Jesus had to come and had to pay the price for you and I. And so it says here, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Right? So the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And so turn over to me here to Numbers, and we're going to find something. And I'm just going to start reading here, because this is what I desire every individual person in our church family to have an amazing marriage. In order to have an amazing marriage, you can't just be a hearer of the word. You got to be a doer of the word. So sometimes you have to say no to your flesh and just be kind. See, if you're going to live by your feelings, see, everybody wants to live by their feelings. I'm not being smart. We all want to. We want to go by what we feel like. We want to go by what we see. You know, a lot of people say, I don't believe that. I've had lots of people tell me I don't believe that. Well, you know what? The problem is, I've had people make fun of me. I've had people mock me over my life. I've had people call me Jesus. I've had people tell me that I think I am Jesus. I don't think I'm Jesus. Absolutely not. I know who I am. I know I have mistakes. I know I'm a human being. But I do know this, that I have a Jesus that paid the price for me, that did the work, and it's up to me. If it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me to receive from him, because he's already throwing the football. And I'm the receiver. He's already did his part. So if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to me. Why do I know that? Because of 100, I can tell you in the Bible, but of 100 different places in the Bible where it talks about some people received, some people entered into the promised land, and some people didn't. Some people didn't get eaten by lions, the other people did. You tell me the key. Some people would walk around a city. You tell me how Joshua and Caleb could walk around a city and have it fall down. Well, because they just did what God said to do. That's what faith is. It's taking what God said and just believing it. And I didn't learn this from studying it. I've learned it over 25 years of studying the Word of God. I can read a bit now. I love the Bible. It's transformed my life. But what opened my eyes was my daughter. It wasn't me. Because up until my daughter started to believe God, I just thought, well, you just are a Christian, and whatever happens in life, you take it, and you thank God for it. And the truth is, in the middle of everything, you do got to give God the credit. And it's in the middle of everything is when you do have to believe God. See, I mean, we in our lives, we are not without problems in our lives. We go through it every time. But when you have an issue, and you got God, you got peace. Right? And you know you're coming out the other side. Because he's with you. So Jesus said here in Numbers, I want to talk to people, because I'm not about having people like me preaching. I'm not trying to be whatever. What I want, and I've seen it, is I want people to be successful in this life. Because this life is awful short. In the light of life, life is short. So the Bible says here in Numbers 13, it said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So Jesus said here, and I'm going to just say this, he said, send thou men, and search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. So this is really what I would say what faith is. Because he said, send men, so they sent men. Did Jesus just say, and I'm saying this on purpose, because I want you to know, did he say that he's given them the land? This is the land I've given you. I want you to go search the land I've given you. Okay. And this is where most people get into. And all the congregation lifted up in verse chapter Numbers 14 and verse 1. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voices, and they cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So I want to ask you a question. They came to a point where God said, I want you to take the land. Did they have something to do with it? Well, you absolutely do. You gotta go ahead. Faith without works is dead. So you gotta step ahead and you gotta do it. So I'm gonna just turn the page here, and I'm gonna read here. I'll just read the whole thing. And it said, and Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of whatever that is, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Now, I want to show you this, and I'm not going to carry on with the whole thing, but what I want to tell you this is that these people chose to go and look at what life was about instead of at what God said. And I'm telling you that God has good things for you. That's why we have communion, to remember what He did at the cross. And you know the story, because if you don't know the story, I can tell you. They said, we're like grasshoppers, they're too big, and they were absolutely real. Because life sometimes is hard. And sometimes we face things that are big, that hurt us, that break us. Like, even us. Okay? Right now, we're dealing with Charity, our daughter, with a brain tumor. But you know what? In the middle of all of this, we just believe God. Because God is real. See, and this is the thing. I sleep at night. I don't say, God, why? Oh, what did we do wrong? I'm not saying we're without issues, but I want to tell you, you don't get answers from God without believing God. It's not, you don't believe God. Anybody can believe God when everything's perfect. It's believing God in the middle of a storm, okay? That's when faith is exercised. The Bible says, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and then you will have them. So it's in the middle of issues that you got to begin to believe God. If I already got a Bible, I don't need to believe God for a Bible. If I don't have a Bible, then I can say, God, you know, I either need money, or I'm asking you for a Bible, whatever. That's when you believe God for a Bible. So it's in the middle of the storm. And see, God's got promises, the Bible says, that are yes and amen. And I want people to receive. And it's, see, and a lot of people are waiting for God, but I'm telling you, He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to say, okay, Lord, I'll receive this. And I want to show you this too. Because I this changed my life, and this is why I have a Caleb and a Joshua. Because this story changed my life. And it caused me, I'm going to tell you the story about Kylie. But it caused me to wake up. And it caused me to realize that God's actually real. And that He really cares about you. and He cares about what you're going through, and that all He wants you to do, like I want my kids to do, is to come to me. I've never had one of my kids come to me for help and me not do something to help them. And the Bible says, if me, being evil, know how to give good things to my children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask Him? See, God loves you more than I love my kids. And I don't even understand that, because I love my kids like I'd do anything for them. So Numbers 14, verse 11, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them?" And then he says, "I'm going to smite them with pestilence and disinherit them. And I'll make thee a greater nation, mightier than they." Now, I want to ask you a question. Why did it bother God? Why was He upset? Because they wouldn't believe Him. All they had to do was go and take the land, because God already was. See, the problem is, this is what you got to realize. You don't have to fight the enemy. You don't have to fight your family. The fight's already been won. All you got to do is keep walking in it and keep believing what God said and pursuing God. And that's why he says in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm just going to read this. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 10, I want to come back to this other place, so I don't want to take my finger out of it. But Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." See, because we're not of those that draw back. See, we just serve God. Like, I just serve God. I've made lots of mistakes. I don't pretend to, I don't fight and argue with people. I don't come to you and try to tell people in our church what to do and how to live their lives. My job as a pastor is to try to help people, is to try to give you the word, to try to help care about people. I pray for people. I go and visit people in hospitals. I do what everything I possibly can, but I can't make people believe God. I can't make people go every week and every day. And I'm not serving God because I'm a minister. I'm serving God because I know what my life was before I served God, and I know what my life is now. And my life's only gotten better and better and better and better and better and better and better. Before I served God, I took from people. I don't mean like I wasn't a thief. I mean, I didn't care about helping people. I made fun of people. I thought of myself. After I got born again, something weird started to happen inside of me. I started to think of other people before me. I started to want to make a difference in somebody else's life. I didn't care if they were poor, if they had money. I just think of our youth. I had one of our youth phone me this week. Our youth are like in their 30s now. Like when I used to do youth group. And I was a terrible youth pastor. But I did the best I knew. I took them to baseball games, football games, the YMCA. Because I didn't know how to talk to kids. We took them to YMCA. Yeah. Anyways, we had a lot of problems. We took them shopping, stealing, drinking, drugs. I didn't know. Anyways, I didn't give them alcohol, but they found it, and I bring them home drunk. And I'm like, "Oh no!" I've had them in jail. I begged for their lives. I remember I had the Fen boys, and I love them. They're tattooed head to toe. I mean, head to toe, two of them are. And I still love them. And they grew up so rough. Just, she did the best she could do. And the mom did. The dad did the best they could do. But they were wild. And I remember I went shopping one day to Christmas shopping with our youth group. All of a sudden, over the loudspeaker, "Would the driver of the big white bus come to security? Driver of the big white bus come to security." So I go to security, and they forgot it was shopping. They thought it was shoplifting. And they said, "We just wanted to get something for Mom for Christmas." I said, "Yeah, but you got to pay for that." Anyways, these guys, now they're like 6'3". And they see you on the street. They come up, and you're like, "Oh." And then you realize who they are. And they come, and they hug you and say, "I love you, John. Thank you again for everything you did." And then when they get in jail, they phone you and say, "Could you help me out, John?" There they are. I love it. I love it. I wanted to quit many times. Many times I wanted to quit. But that's what life's about. I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have helped kids. I wouldn't have helped the youth. All I cared about was myself. But see, when you love God and you care about what God cares about, He cares about people. In my heart, I can't fix everybody's life. But I know God can. I know God can. And I know that if people will receive from God and start, there's nothing impossible. I've seen too many things in my life now. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. I think one of the neatest things, and I know you've heard this before, but I think one of the neatest things was when that CFL player came here that day. I just think it's so neat. My boy Johnny was 9, 10? I don't know. How old was he? 14 years old. It's a long time ago. Like 10 years ago. I remember we were cutting the grass. It was hot that summer, and we had rubber boots on and shorts. And we didn't look like spiritual people. I can tell you that. Grass all over here. We were whippersnipping the ditch. And this guy came in the parking lot. And he said to me, he said, "Are you John?" And I said, "Yeah." And when he got out, he was yellow. Like yellow. He said, "I just come from Montreal. I heard that you guys believed in healing. Is that true?" I said, "I do. I do believe in healing." He said, "Do you think God would help me? I'm not a church person," he says. He was a coach, and he played in the CFL, and he had two kids with him. And he had a bottle with him. I think it was an oxygen bottle. And he was a big man, but that was shriveled right down. He said, "They give me 2 weeks to live. My first thing is more concerned about him knowing Jesus and ending up in heaven." But I said to him, he said, "Can you help me?" He said, "I can help you." "I can't, but God can." So I brought him in here, put him on that front pew, in the middle of the week with grass all over me and rubber boots. I just sat him down and I just talked to him for about 15 minutes, just what I'm talking to you about. I just said, Jesus done it. So we've got to reach out and take it. It's up to us to take this. We've got to believe it. So I just said to him, "I believe that Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus took the stripes on his back for your healing." I said, and then he said, "It's finished." So he said he did that, and then he said he finished it. So it's there for us. So we got to take that. So I said, "We could take it. I'll pray for you. I'll lay my hands on you. The Bible says if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover." So I said, "We got to believe that." And then once you do that, I said, "I'm going to lay my hands on you." And I said, whether we look any different or we feel any different, I said, we've got to believe that. And then I took him to Mark 11, where it says, whatever things you desire when you pray. But you got to know, when you have a desire, your desires has got to be in line with God's word. So you see, you can't just ask God, I desire somebody else's wife. That's not God's word. So that's what I mean. You got to, faith has got to be founded on God's word. So, but if you can find it in the Bible that he did it for somebody, I can tell you he'll do it for you. And so, and this guy's not even born again. This guy's not even a Christian. This guy's a university coach for that university in Montreal. Is it McMaster? No, that's Ottawa. McGill. And this guy's, and he come to me, to a guy in the middle of nowhere with rubber boots on, with a grade 4 education, and he's a university teacher. But he's done everything he can, and he's got 2 weeks to live, and he's going to die. And I didn't do anything. I just said, yes, I can help you. Not me, but God can. Because I believe that Jesus already paid for that stuff for everybody. And it's up to us to begin to receive that from God. But if you don't know it, you'll never try to receive from him. Do you understand? That's why I'm talking like this. Because see, I went through life and I lived without until I found out one day that I could have it. And then we began to believe God 7 years later. See, my spine was bent. I had an EpiPen. I was allergic to everything. And I began to believe God. Once I found out that Jesus paid for, first, faith begins where the will of God is known. You got to know what the Bible says. So I began to believe God. People made fun of me. I didn't care. Because I had that ever since I was a little wee boy. I was allergic. I couldn't eat nuts. I couldn't go around animals. I couldn't go around farms. Remember we used to go to Mitchell, to all my mom's family down in Mitchell, Stratford. Guess what they all are? Farmers. They did big sleigh rides, horse rides, big, all this stuff. And I couldn't even go near them because my eyes would shut, my breathing would shut. And I'd have to take an inhaler, or if I got too bad, I had to stick an EpiPen in my arm for adrenaline. So I didn't know. I had a motorcycle accident. It was nobody else's fault. It was my own fault. I went head first in a rock cut doing 50 or 60 miles an hour and bent my spine, broke my leg, had operations, and I had a back brace at 19 years old. I didn't know that Jesus would actually fix me. But when I found out he would, I began to believe God. 7 years later, all of a sudden one day I woke up. It didn't happen to me in a day. That's why I'm talking to you about faith. Faith isn't going by what it looks like. It's going by what God said. And just stick with God. 7 years later, one day, I remember I was going up with Jan Bennett. I was going up to Oshawa. We were working up there. I said, Jim, my back doesn't hurt anymore. All of a sudden, my life, I'm stronger now. We do, because you see them hands? I know they're not preacher's hand, but they're working hands. We lift rocks, 200 pounds sometimes by hand. I'm stronger now and can do more now at 49 years old, or I guess I'm 48. I'll be 49 December 6th. Don't forget. No. Sorry. I'm healthy. Strong. I can bend. I can sleep. I don't need a back brace. I don't need EpiPen. I can eat peanuts. Do you remember the last time we were married? The last time I remember that I was already believing God. So faith without works is dead. So don't do it. Don't nobody else do that. But I never even thought of it. I just grabbed a whole handful of nuts. Was it the 24th of December? Yeah, but here, 24th of December, grabbed that handful of nuts, and all of a sudden, I could see my throat, and it just was going, if you've ever had what you know, and you're looking for this, I didn't have an EpiPen. So I thank God Dr. Reyes was down here. We just bucked her straight, And he just jabbed me and it was fine. I remember that. And then one other time was in Ireland. I had it 10, 15 years ago. That feeling. But over there, do you know what I did there? I did. But you know what I did over there? I didn't have. I was in the middle of nowhere. No, I was in the where I didn't know where anything was. The people I was staying, I was over there preaching for what? How many weeks? 3 weeks. And I grabbed a handful of nuts, and they were hazelnuts in there. And I remember I thought, here I am, the preacher over here. I'm preaching over here. I'm the faith guy. And my throat's starting to close. And I thought, what do I do? So I just, my mind, the first 5 minutes, because here, you know, you can go to Bancroft, you can go to Dr. Ray's, you understand. Like, but over there, I was stuck in a place near Letterkenny that there was nothing around close to me. And so I had to, all of a sudden, you know how David, for real, I'm telling you the truth, this is what you do. You know, David, when all of a sudden his wives were gone, his kids were gone, city was burned, gold was gone, and then his own men that followed him there wanted to kill him. The Bible says he had to, at that time, he had to stir himself up in the Lord. So he said to the prophet, what does God say? So God said, go and pursue, you're going to recover all. So he had to take that word, and he had to encourage himself with the word instead of, I mean, I don't know how he did it, because I would follow him, and somebody took my wife and my kids, I'd want to kill them too. So in the middle of wanting to be killed, and everybody hating him, and his own wife gone, and everything gone, his city's burned, he had to take that word and stir himself up. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why you can't go by what you feel. Remember they said to Thomas, Thomas, you know, Jesus said to Thomas, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, look at that. Look, you believe now, but blessed are those that don't see and yet believe. See, because anybody can go by what it sees and believe. But it's in the middle of when things are wrong is when you gotta believe. That's why he said here. Now let me finish the story. Did I not finish the story about that guy, did I? So I said to him, I'm going to lay hands on you. And you're going to believe God. Can you do that? Do you understand what I'm saying? I said, you can't. If you go by what you feel, you look terrible. I didn't tell him he looked terrible. But he looked like he was going to die right here. My son's not here, or I would ask my son. He's outside cooking. And I said, so once we pray, I try to explain to him, because I can't fix nobody's life. But I said, once we pray, it's up. We got to hang on to that. Just hang on to it, like you do a fish. Like once you catch that fish, you can't see it, but you just keep reeling until you get it. So that's what we're doing. And do you know what? I laid my hands on him, and I didn't feel a thing. And after I prayed for him, that God would heal him, and I rebuked cancer, I believe the Bible says that every name has to bow to the name of Jesus. I believe that. Just so you know, I actually believe that. Well, then people say, well, what about in your own life? What about in your own family? What about in this? I still believe it. I'm not going to be like these guys in the wilderness and say, oh, well, something happened in my life, so that means the Bible's not true. Because then you're basing the Bible on what you're going through in life and not on what the Word says. And that's how everybody gets off so far. Is I don't say I have it all together, but I know this, the Bible's true. And if you, for 1 minute, think that it's not true, then you're going to have a hard time believing God. Because then what can you stand on? Because the Bible says the man that builds his house on a rock, When the winds of life blow, winds are going to blow, things are going to happen in life, but you're going to stand. When you build your house on the sand and the winds blow and life blows, it's not going to work out so good for you. So I just need to keep building my house on the rock, on Jesus, on the Word. So here I am. He phones me back in a week. And he says in Montreal, he got born again. After I said, now that God's healed you, do you want to get born again? Please? So he got born again. His two kids got born again that were here with him. And cancer left his body. And he wasn't even a Christian. I had another guy, your friend, Duffy's friend, my friend, had Crohn's disease. He phoned me 10 o'clock at night. One night, he lives in Toronto. And he says to me, he says, I've been given 3 days to live. And this guy was a little, my height, a little rounder than me. And he said, I've been given 3 days to live. Would you come down? He didn't ask me to pray for him. I'm just telling you, he didn't ask me to pray for him. He just wanted me to do his funeral. And he said to me, you're the only guy that's been nice to me that I know that's a minister. I don't want some rabbi doing my funeral that doesn't know me or like me. Would you do my funeral? And he's from Toronto. He just has a place up here. I said, I'll be right down. He said, would you come now? Because I only got 3 days to live. Well, when I went down there, I couldn't believe, because last time I seen him, he looked just like normal. And he was just like, what was he, 80 pounds? And he was laying on the bed, on a couch, not a bed. And I will never forget it. His wife was over there in the kitchen. It was quite a bigger house. And she was over in the kitchen. And she was, I think she was drinking something. And the son, just to cope, I didn't say anything to them. And then the son was there, and he was crying over there. And I'm there. And if you go, have you ever prayed for somebody and you almost like have to close your eyes because, and just, Lord, just, why me? I had a guy, blind guy, come up to me one time and ask me to pray for him. And I was like, I just prayed for him and I didn't want to ask him, can you see, right? I didn't have a whole lot of faith, okay? So I'm as human as anybody else. So I, you know, when these people look like bad, and so I'm sitting there, and I didn't say one thing to him. The Lord spoke to me because he was a Jewish fella. And the Lord did tell me, speak to my heart on the way up, and said, do not argue with him about Jesus tonight. And I'm like, if he's got 3 days to live, and you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father except by me, how is he supposed to get to heaven? But I learned enough to be smart enough to listen to God. So I went in there, and I've never had this happen since, and I never had it happen before. Like this. And I'm sitting across the couch from him, because there was a couch. He was like this. His head was right there, and I this way, and I was sitting on a couch right here, so I could see his face. And I'm sitting there, and he's telling me what he wants in his funeral. And I'm just listening. And all of a sudden, out of my heart, this is what I said. I've never really had this happen to me in my life before. I said to him, you don't have to die. And I heard myself say it. And I'm thinking to myself, John, shut your mouth. I'm just telling you the truth. That's what I'm thinking. Like, what are you saying to this guy? He's going to die here. Don't give him a false hope. And out of my mouth came again, You don't have to die, but you can live. And I know this guy doesn't even believe in Jesus or the stripes on his back or anything. And he looked at me and he says, really? I said, oh yeah, really? Like I had like zero faith at this. I'm telling you the truth. He said, yeah, really? Or I said, yeah, really? And that was one of those times. And I said, and then I'm thinking, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? And then the scripture came right out of my heart. Have faith in God. Because they believe in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. So he says, okay, I believe. So you want me to pray, eh? I'm telling you the truth. Like, he looked bad. And I wasn't in there to pray for him. This was a Holy Ghost, Spirit of God thing, right? It wasn't me trying to work faith up or trying to talk him into getting healed or let me pray for him. It was God telling him he didn't have to live or die. So I go over to him. And I remember I went right to the head, not top of his head, and I closed my eyes because I didn't have a lot of faith. And I remember I laid my hands on his head. Not that they didn't have faith, but when you're looking at how bad somebody looks, I'm just telling you the truth. And I laid my hands on him, and I said, Jesus, please die. Anyways, I don't know what I said. But I know it was something to do with Jesus anyways. And he said to me, do you feel that? And I'm like, I don't feel a thing, but thank God you feel something. Because I wasn't, but I never told him I didn't feel nothing. I said, no, what are you feeling? He said, it's like tingling all through my body. Do you know that God raised that man off that bed that night? And today he's still alive. He still comes to Apsley. He's still around here. And he's still healthy. 20 years ago. Is that long ago? He got born again about a year later. He didn't even get born again right after that. But he did say he was thinking more about Jesus after that, didn't he? But he did get born again. So I've seen too much in my life to say God doesn't do it. Now let me just end with this and then we'll have communion. And I know that this is in Numbers chapter 14 again now. And I never ever noticed this in the Bible until I saw this. And I preached this for years, but I never saw this. And this is why I'm talking like this. In verse 27, he says, how long am I going to bear with this evil congregation? What was evil about them? All they did was they chose not to believe. God doesn't like it when you don't believe. He loves you, but he calls not faith actually evil. Because if you read the story, all they were doing was going by what they saw, which was truth. The walls were big, the men were big, the cities were big, the grapefruits were big, they referred themselves as grasshoppers. They knew they were little, but they didn't get it that God was the one that took their hearts. They didn't get it that God was the one that was fighting their battle, but you still got to walk it out. You still have to walk this out. Say unto them, as truly as have I said, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I'm going to do to you. Or so you're going to get. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save, except for Caleb and Joshua, but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which I have which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now, I want you to read this at home. Read chapter 13, 14, and 15, and you'll see what all they did was complain, because we can't beat this guy. We can't beat this. How are we going to do it? They're bigger than us. You know, how can we stay alive? We got cancer. How can we stay alive? I've got this. How can we do it? My wife left me. How can God fix my family? How can my son's on drugs? How can God can? Somebody's got to stand in the gap for your family. The Bible says he looks to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone that will stand in the gap on behalf of his nation. Somebody's got to say, I'll believe. You can't make a decision for somebody else, but you can stand in the gap for your family. You can believe God for your kids. You can believe God for things to get better. You don't have to just take life the way it is and just go with it. Somebody's got to believe God for their family. I believe God, and I've said this for 20-some years now we've been married, that me and my house will serve God. Somebody's got to believe God for my kids, and it might as well be me. Regardless of whether they're perfect or whether they're not. Your faith isn't changing to whether they change. It's believing what God said. And so I just believe God that me and my house are going to serve God all the time. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to get up. And I don't care. I'm past the point of people making fun of me and people think I want their money. I don't want your money. People think, oh, he just wants this. I don't want that. I want people that are in our church to be successful in their life. That's what I want. And I know I can't fix your life. So I got to try to preach in a way that hopefully you can understand me. That's why I don't read too much. So he says this, but as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. This is the last scripture I'm going to read. And he says, and as the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, you shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And you shall know my breach of promise. Now listen to this. One day, my wife bought me this Strong's Concordance. Does anybody know what a concordance is? It tells you what the word means in Greek. And then it tells you what it means in Greek and English. And Hebrew. And I think Greek is the New Testament, Hebrew is the Old Testament. See, I'm learning, eh? It says here, I got to get up here. In my little print, altered. Do you know what that means? I want you to see this. Do you know what it means? Do you know where it says, and they shall know my breach of promise? Do you know what that means right there? Breach means? It means they altered my purpose for their life. God's purpose, and I was, wow. God's purpose was for them to have the promised land and have plenty with their family. And they changed God's plan for their life because they wouldn't believe. And people say to me, believing doesn't matter. It does matter. They altered God's plan. The Bible, you know, I'll just stop. I won't preach no more. The Bible says that God's got good things for you. Plans for good. To give you an expected end. Do you hear me? God wants you to have an expected end. Do not stop God from wanting to do what he wants to do in your life because you choose not to believe God. Because Joshua and Caleb did go in, and they all could have gone in, but they chose not to believe God. And people say to me, believing doesn't matter. Faith doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters a lot. That's why we preach faith here. I've had a lot of people mock me over my life, make fun of me. It's okay. I've seen what God's done in our lives. I'm going to pray right now, and then we're just going to have communion. If you could just give us 5 minutes. Because the reason we have this, see, it's not in our own strength. It's not in our own ability. The reason we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy is because of what Jesus did. Because we're not good enough to make it on our own. I've blown it myself many times. But I can come back boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. It's because of what he did that we can live the way we do. If we could just hand this out. Yeah. Thank you. I'll take pearls.